WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into the crab cake and music season. We're going to be over at State Fair, which is a music hub in Catonsville on Friday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some holiday cash drops to give away. It is the 50th anniversary of the Maryland Lottery. They're going to give me the old school ones with the old wishbone on it, so I'm looking forward to that. We're going to be having some crab cakes on Friday, talking some local issues out in Catonsville with my friend Evan Brown. We got some guests coming by as well. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation as well, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free, and they give you a better deal than they even gave me because you get 5 years, 0% financing. I already paid my bill, but I'm warm because it's winter time, and this is going to be a fun segment. I say that a lot anytime I get off the sports track, especially when it's not Lamar, when it's all Lamar right now, but they get used to it. We have more fun. I love music. I am about to embark on my Springsteen tour, in the September, maybe more December for Springsteen at this point. I'll be spending money, drinking beer, having fun, and patting Bruce on the butt, and anything music-oriented always gets me going, and I have a lot of music friends in my life. This is going to be a fun segment. Sam Sessa has been in my life ever since Bruce Springsteen, that night at the Baltimore Arena. I think it was Royal Farms then, or maybe it was First Mariner, I'm not sure. A longtime music critic and good man from the Baltimore Sun, now doing his thing over at WTMD, doing first nights, doing parties, and bringing rock stars onto my program. The rock star on my program. Sam, I'm going to let you do the honors for Jimmy, but I'll just say this. My son has been beating me up. My son's 37, 38, for 5, 6 years now that I've moved my format to Baltimore Positive, that I need to befriend Jimmy. I need to have him on the program from time to time because he does art. He does smart things, and this is my virgin voyage with your guest, and you're doing a big event for kids, Sam. Always doing good things. How you been, man?
It's been great. Thanks for having me back, Nestor. Really appreciate it. And I got to say, this is our first time, I think, officially working with Jimmy Haha, Jimmy's Chicken Shack at WTMD through a WTMD event. We hope it's the first of many more to come. I got to say, I'm from Maryland. I grew up on the Eastern Shore. And the very first rock show that I ever saw, which I think was 96, I stumbled into by accident at UMBC, and it was Jimmy's Chicken Shack. And I've been a fan of the band ever since. And, they've gone through some iterations musically and lineup wise, but over the years, this is a band that has meant a lot to Maryland, and I think meant a lot to folks all across the country. And I'm very happy to be working with Jimmy and the rest of the crew for an all ages show, because I want to share that sense of excitement that I felt in seeing my first real rock show as, a 12-year-old kid or whatever I was back in then. And so we're doing this show, an all-ages show, Jimmy's Chicken Shack, as part of our Saturday Morning Tunes family-friendly series at Maryland Hall on Saturday, February 11th in the morning.
Naptown, Jimmy Haha, just like you called in the beginning of that video, Lo, these many years ago, right?
So sorry, that was a really long-winded introduction. I kind of co-opted to tell my own little story part of this, but Jimmy, thank you so much for being part of this program, and I'm looking forward to working with you at TMD show.
Well, man, we're really excited about doing it. We're huge fans of WTMD, and we've wanted to kind of hook up for quite a while, but I guess now we have a really good reason to, because we have a new record out and it's our 30th anniversary. So it's really fun. Maryland Hall is in Annapolis is a big part of the Annapolis Arts District. It's kind of like the staple of the Arts District and the outside border of it. And so, going there and doing a show, it's going to be a lot of fun. Typically we're playing in clubs at night, so to be able to play an early show and have people bring out their kids, I think it's going to be cool. So we'll make sure to edit our whatever songs appropriately.
part of my thing at Baltimore Positive is trying to get to the root of this thing. So I saw Sam promote it and I thought, all right, I love having Sam on. I love talking music. I've always wanted to have Jimmy on. I think I threw you a flyer at some point on Facebook, a couple years ago, and you agreed to come on. And I'm the jerk that never followed up because I don't have an executive producer right now during the play. But the inspiration for doing this, Sam, I mean, I know you. I've had you on talking about your Eastern Shore roots. And last 2 years, I've been having crab cakes over in your part of the world. I could send you to some places on the Eastern Shore for sure. You sent me to some places as well. But kids and this place and time, my kid's not of the age that you're looking for. My kid might be having kids to bring to your show at some point, but where does the inspiration come? Does this come out of a whiteboard meeting over at TMD, Sam, to have an idea for Jimmy, or was it you two over a large orange juice somewhere?
So this was, I got to say, the idea for this, you know, I've been doing shows for family-friendly shows for a while, and they started out as like kind of more twee singer-songwritery stuff, which was fine. That's great. There's a lot of that out right now. But after a while, I got kind of tired of that. And I was like, well, let's do Beatles for kids. Let's do Grateful Dead for kids. Let's do, you know, and have just the bands that I would go see, like Ed Huff and Chris Jacobs and Yellow Dub Marine and these like kind of bigger Maryland bands just playing in the morning when I could bring my kids to see them. And after a while, I was like, oh, I feel like the next natural step is to just do shows with bands that I want to see at night during the day so I can bring my kids to them and share it with them. And I don't have to pay $100 for a sitter because, you know, my boys are 8 and 9. And so I thought, well, what's the band? What's the first band? And I thought, well, I think it's got to be Jimmy's Chicken Shack because I wanted to do something with Jimmy and his band for a while. And, you know, like you're saying, it's been 30 years. And this is a band that, you know, but listen, I got to say, there's two things. This is a band that, you know, is still very well regarded 30 years later here in Maryland. And also, Jimmy, you're probably not going to like hearing this, but it pains me to say this too. This is a style of music that is once again popular and sounds very relevant and sounds very fresh and now. And in the same way that it kills me to go to an H&M and see the floppy hats, the JNCO jeans, and the flannel shirts that I remember from 94.
It's terrible.
You know,
it's terrible. It looked ugly then. It looks ugly now.
but the all of that aesthetic is back. And very relevant right now. And so for all those reasons, that's why I wanted to do this one with Jimmy and Marilyn Hall.
Jimmy, weirdest show you've ever done? I mean, like, sir, I mean, is this planning it out and thinking about who the audience is going to be? A little bit, like you said, you're used to doing your thing the way you do your thing. This has to be rethought a little bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's the weirdest show we've ever done, but definitely I put a little thought into, okay, maybe we don't play this song, or if we do play this song, I've got to replace a word here or something. But I want to, you know, I mean, when I saw my first concert, I was 12. It was Black Sabbath.
I saw the shirt on your website, dude. I love that shirt, man. Was that Dio Black Sabbath or was Ozzy?
It was Dio Black Sabbath, but then my second concert was Ozzy. So, you know, I made up for it.
Were those at the arena on the Blizzard tour and when Dio played?
So it was Mob Rules, Black Sabbath.
I was at that show, dude.
Yeah,
I was at that show. Yeah,
Alvin Lee and 10 Years After opened up. And then
I got my tickets.
Ozzy Osbourne was the first tour, but it was right after Randy Rhoads died, so we didn't get to see Randy Rhoads. It was Brad Gillis who was playing guitar. He was from Night Ranger, and he did a great job, but I wanted to see Randy Rhoads. But, you know, I was 12 years old, and I mean, I will never forget that concert. So, you know, over the years, I've had a lot of people say, hey, you were my first concert. That's such a cool thing. Like, there's nothing cooler than being able to having somebody tell you that. You know, typically, it's best not to go, were we good? Just leave it at you were my first concert, but you don't necessarily if they didn't like it. But typically they're not saying if they didn't like it. But you know, I think that's it's a shaping thing. So it's kind of cool to be able to do that now. And things are cyclical. You know, it's like 10 years ago, the 80s were all the rage and the Dayglow colors and you know, electronics, kind of that campy keyboard sound started to permeate music again. Maybe 15 years ago, but you know, it's, I guess rock is in a way coming back. And it's interesting. I was just reading a report and the biggest way that rock fans get their music and listen to their music, it's not streaming, it's radio, which everybody says radio's dead, but radio is not dead.
I own a radio station. I'm not saying radio's dead, Jimmy.
And
come on.
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, I do a magazine and it's a physical magazine. People are like, oh, well, you know, print media is dead. I'm like, no, it's not. It's just been left to the wayside because of technology. But there's an aesthetic to it that's you know, you always want to hold a book. Well, the same thing with listening to the radio. I like listening to the radio, but it's interesting that rock fans, that's the biggest way they get their music now, today, is they listen to it on radio. They don't stream. It's straight. It's not through YouTube. It's straight up the radio, which is kind of cool. So yeah, well, luckily we get to play for a few more years.
Sam Sessa is here and Jimmy Haha from Jimmy's Chicken Shack. They are collaborating. That's such a music term, isn't it? Collaborating on an event. They're doing it down at Maryland Hall. It is for kids. And if you're a big kid or an old kid, you can still come down on February 11th. It is in the morning. You can grab your tickets at WTMD.org, where they do miracles like little radio stations like WNST. We're all in this together, the little guys. By the way, first concert for me, and I was showing my Pacifica belt buckles off, Styx. At the Baltimore Civic Center, February 5th, 1980, was my first Cornerstone tour, and this is the Cornerstone belt buckle. I collect these crazy Pacifica belt buckles, and Jimmy, my wife thinks it's the strangest thing, because we've been married 20 years. She's like, yeah, I had some autographs and some posters, but I don't look at that stuff, collect that stuff. I've been to 28 Super Bowls. I have trinkets and like all of that. But I started collecting these things because I'm just getting nostalgic about like that thing in my life. And part of that thing in my life is, when I look at this belt buckle, I see me and my mother walking onto the floor, sitting in the back of the floor. The first time I'd seen like bombs on stage go off and pyros and Tommy Shaw shaking his ass. And you never forget your first concert, right? So like, we've all talked about our first concert. It's in color. It's in the front of our minds, what the ticket stub looked like, you know, with the concessions, all of that. Sam, for you to put together this concept years ago, a couple years ago, to bring your children out, and that, Jimmy, there's a lot of pressure on you on the 11th, because you are going to be somebody's first in that room, right?
Right.
DiMaggio would say, right, that somebody's seeing me play for the first time today, right? Sam, this idea to expose children in this way, I don't know the first time. I probably was at a bull roast with my parents when I was five and there was a band, right, to see live music when you're a child. Kids are exposed to music in so many different ways, but this thing you're trying to do here, I want to get at the heart and the soul and the root of exposing kids to music, because we were all kids, and look at us, we're big kids now, collecting belt buckles and doing art and running radio gigs because we love music and it's in our soul.
I also think there's a difference between going somewhere and there's music playing and then going to your first concert. And I think that they hold different places in your memory and you attach different weight to them. And, you know, but I think it speaks a lot to how imprinted those memories are in our minds that Nestor, you and Jimmy, you can both so clearly recall the first concerts that you went to. And I can remember the day that I saw Jimmy's Chicken Shack, and it will be probably with me my whole life. And that's also, I'm a big music nerd, right? But, you know, plenty of kids have been somewhere and there's been music. But like Nestor said, there will be families who bring their kids who are 9, 10, 11 years old, who've never really been to a concert before. And to go to a place like Maryland Hall, which is not a small club, you know, it's a hall that holds 600 or so people. You know, it's a more of a formal presentation of live music. And that's going to mean something for them later in life.
Jimmy Haha from Jimmy's Chicken Shack is here. Sam Sess is here from WTMD. They're throwing a hoot nanny down in Naptown. Jimmy, I want to bring you fully into this thing and like bring people up to speed on what you're doing, because my kid's watching, you know, and he's always wanted me to have you on and talk to you about all sorts of things in your art and your work and your influence and politics and just all of the recent experience. And I'm familiar with your band. I've seen you out. I actually was texting Johnny Allen, who's my childhood friend, who's also at that Ozzy concert, because we went together back in 80, 81. It was right after Ozzy bit the head off the bat. Our parents were a little like, you're going where to do what? But rock and roll and your life, and you're my age. I thought you were younger than me because you appealed to my kid, but we're the same age, and we have the same experience of all of this, of music and radio and 98 Rock and Annapolis and HFS and like all of that. But you're you know, Theodore Roosevelt, man, you're in the arena, and you've been in the arena a long, long time, and staying relevant for any of my music friends. And the Hammerjacks movie's coming out next week, and I was a part of that, being the old music critic. But staying relevant and still doing what you love, right, in the way you love to do it, that's important when you're 50 like we are.
Right. Well, I like to say, I always kind of like to muse of what am I going to do when I grow up? And yeah, at 54, I haven't grown up yet. So I guess I'll stick with this.
You're making me feel younger being 54. I'm looking at you. I'm like, I need some tats. I need to figure this out, man. What have you been doing? Bring me up to speed on the new album. We got all this happening. The pandemic has moved a lot of artists in different ways. I think it gave everybody a little time and space. It made me do this, right?
Literally. Yes. So, I mean, we had been working on, you know, putting together ideas for years, honestly, but we hadn't put out a record in over 12 years, just never kind of got together with it. And once the COVID kind of shutdown hit, everything was shut down. I mean, I do a magazine called Upstart Annapolis. It's a art and culture magazine that, you know, basically it's a really nice high quality coffee table book. And that got shut down. You know, my gigs got shut down. The only thing I could really do is do, you know, couch concerts, stream them, and, you know, do paintings for people. And it was just like, once everything kind of cleared up, we started getting together every week, and I had a different energy. I started riding my bike, and I, you know, lost a bunch of weight and got in better shape. And I think, you know, you change your body and your mind will follow. The same thing with change your mind, your body will follow. So I just had an energy that felt like, I feel like we should do something. And so the idea was, we started working on this, really putting this record together, and it ended up being like, well, let's do like one of those kind of concept records or 70s records, the kind of records we loved listening when we were growing up, where you'd go home, you'd open the album cover, you'd read the liner notes while you're listening to it with your blacklight posters
lit buy up. The belt buckle 50 years later.
Or my wall of mirrors that had all the silkscreen band logos that you won in Ocean City Boardwalk by darts. Playing the darts.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah. You know.
You're the same guy, you and me. I can't believe you haven't been on my show, you know.
So, you know, that was something that shaped me. And so that's what we ended up doing. The first, almost like how Rust Never Sleeps by Neil Young has an acoustic and an electric side. That's kind of what our new record Seconds is like. And it's kind of a little bit of a journey. And, you know, the main theme is that every second that we have is precious. And we've dedicated it to a bunch of friends we've lost over the years, you know, to cancer. So it ended up just being something that time made us really kind of come together. And it's really collaborative. I think it's my favorite record we've ever done. It goes stylistically everywhere. And everyone in the band sings on the record. So it has a tonal depth that other records where I always sang the backups, you know, might lack. So it's cool.
Well, I would ask you this on the art side of what you do, because you say you haven't done something in 12 years. And, you know, and I talked to John Allen and I are real close, and it just, he has a studio in his place. He can make music when he wants to, kind of like, you know, Lenny Kravitz used to have 20 years ago in a lair in Miami. It was all groovy right. That, you know, Mick would show up and they'd lay down some tracks or whatever. Right. But right. You can be anybody now, right? Like with GarageBand and with tools for artists, for musicians that, the pandemic, you could lock yourself in a room and be a symphony if you wanted to be. I have friends that write music and do things. There was a time and a place that 25 years ago, you had to have a studio, you had to go to New York, you had to get signed, you had to have all of that, right? Access to make the burn tapes or burn CDs in your era, or Napster, which my kid discovered right around the time you came around. But the part of making art and making music, it's more accessible and for kids as well. Some kid's going to come get inspired, want to pick up a guitar and be you.
Right. Well, I can't say that hadn't been making music. I mean, we've still been playing. I put out a solo record under the name Mend the Hollow a few years ago. So I was still doing stuff, but I actually don't have a studio. The way I do songs is like the old school way. I have an acoustic guitar. I sit on my couch and instead of a pen and a paper, but a lot of times pen and paper writing down lyrics, I'll type them out on a notepad on my computer. But our drummer has a studio in Baltimore, so that's where we demoed stuff. And we recorded it with a guy who did our second major label record, Jim Wirt, who produced the first Incubus record. He produced my solo record. He produced a bunch. He's done tons and tons of records. So we went up to Cleveland for 2 weeks and recorded. So we went about it the old school way because, I'm not very new school.
That's what you know, right? You do what you
exactly.
know.
Yeah. And it was great. It was a fun experience. And it was really, it was time to, I at the point I felt like I had something to say that was worth sharing. I feel like sometimes it's best to not say anything if you don't have anything good to say.
So I say that too, but I got a radio station. I got to fill time. So, and I'm doing that now with Sam Sessa and Jimmy Ha Ha from Jimmy's Chicken Shack. They are collaborating on a Saturday morning tunes all ages show. It's February 11th at Maryland Hall. You can find out all the information out of TMD's website, WTMD.org. All right, Sam, peel back the curtain on all the 3 years of plaguing you've been doing and getting people out. I mean, you guys, your events downtown in the summer, unbelievable. And you joining the organization and being a part of it and mergers and all of that. Bring me up to speed on, Maryland's favorite radio station.
Sure. Well, I can tell you WTMD, it turns 20 years old this year. So what we're talking about back in the day. It's not that far back in the day, but, so we're planning, and WYPR, the NPR news station, bought us about a year and a half ago. And so we're actually going to do a combination 20th anniversary bash for both stations. It's coming up this summer. And we're going to be bringing back First Thursday festivals for Baltimore, which, that's gets about 10,000 people a month in the summer months to Canton Waterfront Park. And got a bunch of other.
All I do is pray for weather. I look on Mondays when I live downtown. I'm like, there ain't weather. Oh, God, it's going to rain.
You and me both.
Heartbreaking, man.
We've got a lot of great stuff in store for the music scene, not only in Baltimore, but hopefully all across the state this year.
Well, you guys are awesome. Sam, we've been friends a long time. I love having you on the program. We got to get together and take a deeper dive into all my belt buckles and all the stuff going on once we get back from Springsteen. Depeche Mode's going out this year, too. So that's I got right. That in my soul as well. Jimmy, I'd love to have you out for a crab cake. Come up to the city and hang out and sit down and let's just talk about ish, and music and all that, I'll bring my Sabbath ticket stuff from the Ronnie James Dio night, man.
Heck yeah, I'm down. My wife has saved a head of stacks of them, of ticket stubs, and she's like, "Do you really want these?" I'm like, "Yeah." And she got me little folders that hold business cards and slotted them all in. I'm like, "That was nice." So yeah.
So I still what have are your bands? We're the same age, man. I was at the two shows you mentioned for sure. You did the Judas Priest, Iron Maiden.
Well,
one.
The one for Heavy Metal Parking Lot. Yeah, I was at that show. The Heavy Metal Parking Lot, you know what I'm talking about.
It was Crocus. Yeah,
it was Judas Priest at Capitol Center. I was at that show for sure. And I feel like some of those people, they were in that video talking about, party on, bro. I think I was probably right next to them, parked next to them. But
for years and years, back in the 90s, Pat D'Anizio, the late, great Pat D'Anizio. Oh, yeah. I was the music critic at the paper before Sam Rashad, all those back in the day, in the days of J.D. Yeah. Considine. The guys in the Smithereens were like family to me. They were my almost famous, right? They were my, the band. Backstage pass on their buses. We were all goofy sci-fi movie fans. They knew about Heavy Metal Parking Lot. I had no idea. And D'Anizio would say, "Esther, you're in it. I'm telling you, you're in the first scene in the Capitol Center. Did you have a Live Aid shirt? Did you go to?" I said, "I went to Live Aid and had a Live Aid shirt. I'm telling you, you're in the movie." So all these years later, I get the VHS. I put it on. First scene, first 40 seconds as they're going through the cat. There's a dude in the live. My hair, everything. I looked at it. And I'm like, "That's not me. I wasn't at the concert. It was not me. I did not go to that Priest concert. I went to the one in Baltimore." So
it's funny. One of the best gigs from my old band, 10 Times Big, back in we started in the 80s, went from 87 to 90, 91. We opened up for Smithereens on their four tour at University of Maryland at Ritchie Coliseum. It was our biggest show. We ended up playing with Smithereens, Psychedelic Furs, Flock of Seagulls, Violent Femmes. We played with all those bands.
I saw that show. I was backstage at that show. I have a poster from that night. Yeah. They actually flew in from that or trained in for that show because they had done the MTV Unplugged that week.
Yeah, that was totally memorable. But growing up, I mean, anywhere from, I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan play at Constitution Hall. I used to go to Grateful Dead shows and Jerry Garcia Band shows. I went and saw, Jeff Beck play or Alan Holdsworth or, eventually like King Crimson, And so, I mean, I was anywhere. I was always guitar rock driven stuff, from prog rock to, Yes and Pink Floyd and all that. I mean, all that stuff that you would listen to on the radio stations growing up. You know what I mean? It's like back then we thought Crack the Sky was as big as Pink Floyd everywhere in the world. And we didn't know that it was just our local stations that were playing cool music, but But so that was kind of what I grew up listening to and being into, is all that kind of guitar driven, you know, rock stuff.
Well, you and I were in the same room at the same time. We'll pull ticket stubs together. We get together and tell some stories from the old shows, because I mean, just having a Capitol Center ticket stub.
Oh yeah.
Right. The gray and the red and the blue. There's something about that. When I see it, it glows to me. Doesn't
with that $8.50 cover charge?
No, no, $9.90, $8.80, and $7.70 is what they charged for ZZ Top back in the day. Absolutely.
It was under $10. Yeah,
awesome. That's whenever I put those tickets up, people always check the price. They're like, yeah, you know what? I just paid for Springsteen, you know, like, so. Hey, man, I hope.
I'm just amazed that our parents would like literally drive us to Cap Center, just drop us off at 12 years old, be like, okay, go have fun with all these, Black Sabbath fans.
I actually was the music critic when the Capitol Center opened for the very first time in the old club area. They opened the Quiet Room. And Sam, you'll love this because it plays right into the theme of the whole thing here. The idea was just what you pointed out, you know, Jimmy's 13, and it's okay that he goes to see Judas Priest, and maybe he has a flask of something, or discovers girls, or discovers, you know, some plants or things like that at these shows. But the issue of picking my child up and ingress and egress and when I have to be there and what the hell do I do for 4 hours on Central Avenue, right? Like, all of that played in, and especially played in if it wasn't Jimmy, if it was Jacqueline or Jennifer and you had a daughter that you wanted to drop off. So they opened the Quiet Room when the Beastie Boys and Run DMC were doing License to Ill. I'm not kidding, right? Like, the Beastie Boys had a giant, well, no kids are, penis on stage, like a giant phallic thing on stage. And parents were expected to drop their daughters off for this rap and these Beastie Boys, you know? Well, and so I was the reporter at the Capitol Center that night doing the story on this new concept of allowing parents, and then your little brother or sister would come along and they weren't going into the show, but they could sit and have free popcorn, watch Jeopardy and the 7 o'clock news or whatever. And I'm in there with my reporter's notebook and it's packed, right? And of course, the Beastie Boys come up the stairs, hats on backwards, meeting the parents, and the kids that love the Beastie Boys were in the show. Nobody had a camera, right? Yeah. So I actually had them jot down some autographs on the back of a ticket stub and all that. But the Quiet Room and what to do with the kids at the concert, Sam, you've broken through. Now you bring the kids to the concert, right? That's the whole idea, right?
Well, and I'll say this, there will not be like Ozzy hung a short person at that one concert. He literally strung some short person up, or I don't know, small, how do you say it? Prince used his guitar during a Purple Rain tour at the Capitol Center to jack off and spray the audience, which was awesome. So
he actually had a bed on stage before.
So none of that stuff will be happening at this show. You won't need the Quiet Room at our show.
I remember seeing the Crew back at the turn of the century, and they just brought the stripper poles onto the state cages. It was that will not be happening at Maryland Hall. This isn't even PG-13, right? This is like G. This is like Benji or like a Disney flick, right, Sam?
Yes, it's PG. Yes, yes, absolutely. Because we're broadcasting it live on air, so we can't go there.
All right, I'm sorry I was bad today. I'm sorry I broke the rules. Jimmy Ha Ha from Jimmy's Chicken Shack here. Sam Sessa from WTMD. Take your kids down on February 11th. It's Valentine's week. Show them some love as well. It is a morning thing. And I love how you guys have on the website, you'll be home in time for a nap.
I'll need one.
Jimmy, thanks for making a first appearance. Thanks for getting out of bed and doing this. Sam, always a pleasure. And knock them dead on February 11th down at Maryland Hall. Have a great time.
Right on. Thanks for having me.
And Jimmy, I don't know how it makes you feel, but my kid loves you. Oh, my kid loves your music.
Clearly he has impeccable taste and questionable judgment.
Well, who do you think gave it to him? Apple doesn't fall far. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.